It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Well, the coffee is hot and it is another Great Mondays. Welcome back to Great Mondays Radio. Today we are going to learn the story of the time that Wesley Eugene was able to create the digital transformation program for all of IDEO around the world. He is an incredible CIO, but not just a general kind of CEO. He's got a special flavor. He's a human-centric CIO. He actually is currently the SVP of North America for HIT Global, which is a human, what was the I for? Human IT.
Humanizing IT.
Humanizing IT. We had practiced that and I still screwed it up. Okay. Humanizing IT around the world, a global training company. And we got connected because, well, I don't know, we have very similar sort of perspective about business, which is it all starts with the human. Welcome, Wesley Eugene, leader and coach. Thanks for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
Josh, I'm happy to be here. Look, I mean, just your whole Great Mondays platform is an attention grabber because it's definitely a misnomer for a lot of folks, you know? So I'm excited to be here and have this conversation.
Yeah. You said yes pretty quickly when we came to you with the request. Wesley, let's talk about humanizing IT real quick, and let's get your kind of philosophy of the world. I think a lot of people would probably say those things are the humans parts and the IT parts are different. Let's start with your kind of philosophy about how you bring those things together, and then we'll get into the story about how you were able to convince a bunch of wild creatives that actually the transformation that you were bringing was valuable.
Absolutely. So, like we mentioned earlier, like humanizing HIT Global, HIT Global stands for humanizing IT, and that's what the HIT stands for. No one's getting harmed in this. My thinking about it all, though, is Josh, is that everything begins and ends with people. And in this age, in this, while we're in this AI revolution, it's never been more important to understand that and to be anchored and grounded in that. And I really, truly believe that it's absolutely critical as we continue our march into this AI age that creativity, a lot of the skills we used to call soft skills are really going to be the most important things that rule the day.
Yeah.
And humanizing IT is a framework, by the way, that integrates human-centered design with traditional technology frameworks around service delivery. And when you merge the two, magic happens.
Yeah, there is a little bit of movement, I think, is interesting in some organizations where they're starting to reconfigure and put the kind of the human piece and the IT piece together, which I think is interesting. I'm very curious as to how that's going to start changing how things are done, and cautiously optimistic about whether it's the IT that's going to be, you know, dominating versus the human part, right? So, but I do think there's some real changes in the org chart that are starting to crop up, and I'm hoping that they move us in the right direction. So give me your, you were hired, I just love this story. So you were the CIO, the Chief Information Officer at IDEO, and You were essentially came in and said, look, y'all, your whole infrastructure is behind. We need to update this. Tell me about how you kind of got started and what you thought you were getting into, and maybe some what were some misperceptions about your initial approach there.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because in the interview process, I had been a fan of Ideal for years and years, right? So I get into this interview process, and honestly, I'm thinking, I'm happy to just be a seat filler. I'm cool with just being in the conversation, right? And ultimately, you know, in the interview process, they anchored a lot on collaboration, on change management. And I'm thinking to myself, man, these folks are beating this like a, you know, like a, they're beating this thing like a drum. And I'm really curious as to why. Finally, I get the job. It's my remit. And then I realize, yeah, the infrastructure is really outdated, but that's not really the biggest problem. The biggest problem is the organization is so dynamic and there's so many creatives and there's so many different points of view. Getting anybody on the same page is a little more art than science, but that is the job, right? And so in order to modernize the infrastructure, I had to do a digital transformation. Yeah. And when I looked at the digital transformation, like typically you've heard digital transformations like based on technology, like somebody says, hey, we're going to do this great cloud transformation.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I couldn't do it based on technology, Josh, because what happened was I wanted to talk about modernizing CRM and ERP and ITSM. And all they wanted to do was talk about blockchain, generative AI, machine learning, augmented reality, quantum computing.
But you guys are having different conversations. How is that even, you would like, IDEO, and I realized that I didn't define it. So for people that don't know, IDEO is this well-known global product and experience design firm. Super, super creative, been around for a very long time. And you're right, it is an incredible, it's a wealth of like creativity, but also, you know, it's the sort of the whole thing about herding cats. It's like everybody's a genius. How do you get those geniuses to move in the same direction at the same time? So that's really interesting to hear where you came in and we're like, we're going to talk about your technology. And they're like, technology? Quantum computing? And you're like, that's not even a real thing yet. We're talking about how the customer resource management. So you had to go back. You had to go, oh, okay, that pitch isn't working. What did you how did you handle that, and what came next?
So what came next was I said, okay, cool. This isn't going to get across this way. Let me try to anchor this on a business strategy.
Smart.
It makes sense. I've done it before successfully at companies like Aflac, Anthem, several others. Here's the challenge though. They would define their strategy,
yeah,
and they would remix it like basically every 90 days. Like there would be a new point of view. Somebody would have a new creative hot take and the pendulum would swing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a second, this isn't working either.
Because 90 days is not enough to like, if whatever you are like, hey, this is a great idea, I'm going to attach to that. And by the time you bring it back, they're going to be like, oh, no, that's the old one.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, I can't do it based on tech. I can't do it based on business strategy. So I said, okay, what can I use that will actually hold their attention? What can I use that will actually work? You know, and what I ended up leaning into, Josh, was I said, hey, you know, we're going to actually practice what we preach here. We're going to use the same methodology, ideology that we make popular throughout the world. And I took the principles of human-centered design and anchored that into digital transformation. So basically, I set up an experience-led, an experience-led digital transformation anchored on the employee experience, the client experience, and the team experience, or aka the delivery experience.
Yeah.
And that worked. Like when I did that, I was able to deliver Workday as our ERP solution delivered Freshservice as our ITSM solution, and I delivered HubSpot as our CRM solution across Asia, Europe, and North America in 24 months. That was a record for me. I've never done that before, not that quickly.
And is that because everybody went, once you started telling that story about the experience, everybody went, yes, give it to me.
It was beautiful because all of a sudden they could see themselves. Instead of talking about the technology, I was talking about them. I was talking about their day in the life. As an employee, I was talking about their experiences onboarding, as a delivery team, I was talking about their experiences doing our pre-flight, mid-flight, and post-flight design activities with our clients. In the client experience, I was really digging into all those core moments that create the magic when we onboard our clients, when we're basically shipping new product or shipping new ideas or services. And so I was talking about them. And you know what? They are brilliant about a lot of things. They're definitely very brilliant about themselves. And it was easy to, like, once they could see themselves in the story, getting through the technology change was a lot easier. I mean, it removed a ton of friction.
And is it so I think the story you're saying is, this is how it's going to benefit you in the way that you work. You care about the process. You care about how you do your work. And I think that's probably true. I mean, I guess my question here is, can we take this and say it is probably a smart thing to talk about any kind of transformation from the point of view of the kind of user experience, the human experience, the delivery experience? Or is that an IDEO unique thing? Or is that like a creative, herding cats? Like, they're only creative firms really can do this. Like, in your experience, and you've had a lot of jobs doing this, do you feel like you could go back and say, I'm going to do it in this way for an Aflac-like company? Or is it take a different approach?
Oh, it's definitely not the latter. It's definitely not take a different approach. Yeah. Because in that laboratory there in the Bay Area with IDEO, what I discovered doing that is this is wildly applicable to the way we deliver technology going forward, period. Yeah. That what we need to do, I mean, think about it. The genius of Steve Jobs is being able to be wildly empathic and get into the minds of his consumers and kind of anticipate their needs. If we all just adopt that thinking where we are leaning in with empathy, focused, and we're mastering their experience, then we're asking the right questions, we're getting the right answers, we're creating the experiences that are just right for the people in our organizations, that are going to enhance our culture. Wow. And we're doing it all the right way. In fact, the way I think about it is BAU is dead. Long live the age of experience. Like, in this, at this point, especially with the advance of AI, we really have to focus on the experience, and we have to solve backwards from there. That's where everything is happening. That's where the magic is.
That's so compelling. So repeat for me the three kind of experiences that you designed this around, and let's talk about those kind of more broadly. So what were the three different experiences again?
Yeah, the three that I anchored this on. One was the employee experience. Employee. The other was the client experience.
The client experience.
And the third one was the delivery experience, where the key persona there is the team.
What is the difference between the employee experience and the team experience?
Oh, great question, Josh. Great question. So research bears this out, that individuals and teams are wildly different entities. You know, we've all heard, you know, a team goes through the stages of forming, storming, norming, then performing, right? The team is its own person in a sense, right? It's got its own little climate and culture, ways of doing things. And so it's a distinct experience. And then the remit and the charge that the team has is different. Like, they have to figure out ways of working for them that's going to enable them to perform and deliver what they need to deliver for our clients and for each other. This was an interesting time too at IDEO because we had just come through the pandemic. Wow. And IDEO has a very in-person culture. Yes. But the pandemic threw a ton of rocks on that. And so suddenly we had to figure out what will be the new cultures and the new ways of working. Yep. That enabled the magic to happen in a distributed fashion. So that was a particular remit with the team experience or the delivery experience. When we think about the individual or the employee experience, there's where we anchor in on the classic hire to retire flow for the individual employee. And then from that standpoint, it's like, what are the moments that matter? You know, performance reviews is a moment that matters, right? Yeah. Selecting your benefits is a moment that matters. Onboarding, offboarding. I'm a firm believer that we should aim to offboard our team members, our employees with as much magic as we seem to create when we're onboarding them, so that they become wild advocates of the firm and the culture going forward.
As you're describing this, now I've worked with a lot of HR executives, and they're very keen and attentive to the employee experience. But it does strike me that the team experience often gets short shrift. It doesn't, because you just assume that the individuals make up the team. But you're right, it's an entirely different kind of organism when you put those individuals together. I don't know if there's a question there, but it's a insight that you're sort of helping me uncover. And the fact that you're calling it the delivery experience, right? Because you can do things individually, but it is really about that team. In our sort of modern economy, it is teams who actually deliver on the products. And so I like the way that you're describing it. Let's wrap it up with the client experience. So I know that IDEO thinks a lot about creating an amazing, magical experience for clients. I think this is a great category because everybody knows that that's an important delivery piece. But not everybody tries to really puts the time and energy into it, like cares about it, like IDEO does. So when you're thinking about the client experience more broadly, what are your sort of general observations around the needs that you tapped into or could tap into for some kind of transformation, be it digital or otherwise?
Yeah. So when we look at the client experience, in full transparency, this is where I needed to do the least amount of work because IDEO is and was and continues to be obsessed with that client experience. The challenge was around the orchestration, if you will, of the technologies that underpin that client experience, because when our clients came to us, there was no idea that was too wild or too crazy. So you pose something and the question is, okay, how are we going to figure this out? So, this client wants us to build a facsimile of Noah's Ark. Okay, let's figure that out. the request that can come can, you know, there was no way to anticipate the request that would come. But the key was speed. A big thing that we anchored in on was communications with the clients. So we removed a lot of the friction. We basically clients needed to know that they had someone who was an anchor for them within our organization, right? And so ensuring that communications, they weren't getting like several voices and like a cacophony, if you will, of different perspectives, but they could anchor in on, okay, this is the partner that I'm working with. This is what this means to me. And they're kind of like literally ushering that relationship. And then ensuring too that effectively their needs around setting up the product environments that was needed to innovate, like the laboratories, sometimes the workspaces, both physical and virtual, that needed to be created to basically set a safe container for the innovation was a huge area of focus. But I didn't have to worry about like pleasing the clients because like, you know,
they do it.
They do it. The thing is, how can we do it safely? Yeah. How can we do it safely? How can we do it in ways that are more easily repeatable without creating a lot of one-off, let's call it technical debt, right?
Yeah.
In each client engagement.
Practical question for you. In your experience, how often should an organization reevaluate their technical process, right? Because what we are really talking about, and I want to dig in on process in just a second, but let's answer this question first, right? Technology is really about process, how you do things, and especially post-pandemic, right? So it's even more so. How often should an organization reevaluate how they're doing things, and obviously connected to that, the tools that they're using?
Yeah. So you need someone in your shop that has a love for complexity. You know, what you would think of as your architecture archetype, that is basically nurturing your technology landscape on a regular basis. And the way I think about that care and feeding is it really should be a continuous process.
That's a great answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It really should be a continuous process. I think it happens most magically if you get it right. It becomes almost passive.
Yeah.
Like it's nothing that you're actively thinking about. Because you've set up the right routines and rituals. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. So let's take it back to the beginning where we started. Humans, the human piece of the tech and the story that you've told here is really one about process. And as we get into the world of, as AI dominates, right, and we're all going to have to go through another, you know, continuous transformation or technical transformation, right? We're going to have to start adapting and adopting new tools. Mm-hmm. What I think you're saying is that your point is that ultimately it's about the people doing the work per the employee experience, the delivery experience, and the client experience. And that becomes the kind of foundation for this, the motivation for how this technology gets done, right? So, and the reason why I sort of say it that way is because I've just seen so many organizations falter and falter and falter to get something technical done because it's just such a massive task and they don't have the right people and they're not thinking about it the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I see it, you know, I'll take your last point first. I mean, they're not seeing it the right way, right? I firmly believe the lens of experience is the lens that we have to keep on, especially now. It is the foundation. We've kind of inverted the funnel. So decades ago, it was like, you know, the world of technology was basically like a magician that came to humanity, pulling rabbits out of the hat. And it's like, oh, what? I've got a PDA? Great. What? Oh, the internet's here. Like, all this stuff was just pure magic. And we didn't really understand it. And technology, as it were, had a blank check. But we've reached a tipping point where technology is so ubiquitous and so powerful and so accessible to so many that at this point, the only thing that matters is the experience. It's not about you creating something new and magical with technology. It's about why you're doing it. Who's it serving? Yeah. What is its true purpose? And what impact are you trying to have? Those are going to be the distinctions. Like, literally right now, and yeah, I just had just grabbed a coffee with a friend of mine. He created three applications. He's not a developer. He created three working applications that are revenue producing over the last 90 days, just tinkering around.
Yeah.
And vibe coding. So in this world, you know, you can't control the tech. What you need to do is manage the experience. And by managing the experience, you can make the choices about the tech that comes in to support and enable that, uplift that. Yeah. And that's the way you know what bets to make. Like, do I need this or do I not need this? What does my experience tell me?
Yeah, it's a whole new paradigm, I think, that has sort of snuck up. I mean, maybe you've seen it, I feel like it's sneaking up on the rest of us. And you're like, all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, uh-oh, shadow IT. Uh-oh, everybody's doing their own thing. Uh-oh, everybody's using everybody's over there. They're using Claude, and then they're using ChatGPT over there. And it really becomes not only inefficient, but, courting risk in a lot of ways, right? So, but I love this, and I just so appreciate your perspective, and honestly, your thank you for coming on and helping share this, because I do think that we are getting caught up in the sparkly magic of all this technology, when in fact we need to be thinking about the experiences that everybody, the humans, have and how to create it for those experiences.
100%. I mean, thanks for inviting me to have this conversation. Yeah, I like to, you know, remind folks that, like, when Henry Ford put out the Model T, the first models didn't have seatbelts, right? Like, you know, it was a process focused on efficiency. It was a process focused on a level of industrialization and automation, and it moved the human race forward a ton, but there was a lot of carnage. And the reason why we had that carnage is because we weren't anchored in the human experience. Ultimately, by anchoring in the human experience, it's not only the right thing to do for business, but it also helps us to mitigate that risk. You know, it helps us to think about not just the positive, but the potentially negative impacts of emerging technologies, and to be intentional about how we deploy it, use it, and leverage it to enable our environments, our cultures, our organizations.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, continue to do the incredible work that you're doing. Wesley Eugene, who is a leader, coach, and trainer, he is the Senior Vice President of North America for HIT Global. You can learn more about Wesley on his LinkedIn. You just go to look for Wesley Eugene on LinkedIn, and you will find him and all of his amazing work and thinking. Wesley, thanks for coming on Great Mondays Radio. It has been just a pleasure.
Same here. Thanks for having me. It's been an awesome conversation, Josh.